I also would like to welcome all of you. May the Lord God bless us. May He be with us. And in particular, all in those languages which are not listed in our songbooks. Excuse me. When we sing the songs and choruses, then we have only three languages. All together, we have 13 languages presently. And we are thanking all our brothers and all our sisters in all the languages. Who can sing with us in their own language. Languages are an enrichment. They are a gift. One just has to pay attention that no national spirit comes in. And in the moment, I just say it now, I say it openly now, in the 155 countries, 55 countries in which I could bring the Word of God, it always took place in the English language. And there was hardly a resistance, hardly an opposition. All have accepted it this way. And now we have, I say it now openly, now we have a problem with a meeting which shall take place in Rome, in the group there. And now, I hear it for the second time, that the German language is not welcome in Rome. Yes, that the German language is not welcome in Rome. And the reason is, there is already one who is there, who speaks German. And this is Ratzinger. And this is then, of course, not so easy to decide what really has to be done now. I'm always ready to preach in English. This is the best language for the proclamation of the Word, which exists on the earth. But if there's no translator there, what shall be done then? We just ask. We just ask that also in this matter, the Spirit of God might lead and that everything what is human, that it is switched off and that really, that only the Spirit of God comes to His right with all of us in all languages. What could the several men for it? A John Wycliffe in England, a Jan Hus in Prague, a Luther and all the others whom God used here and there. Just take a brother Branham. Take others who were before him. It's just so, brothers and sisters, that we may serve the Lord. We must serve Him just as we are, and also in the language which God has given to us. And we just hope that the situation with Rome will be solved somehow. And if not, then I remain here. It just has to come to the point that we are becoming one in the Spirit, that we truly put God at the first place and everything what is national, that we just switch it off. May the Lord give it by His grace. Then I may not forget to once again welcome all of you, especially our brother Joseph from Kinshasa. Please stand up so that all can see you. The Lord God bless you in a very special way in our midst. Then we have a brother from Angola in our midst. Where is the brother from Angola? God bless you in our midst. Angola, if God gives grace, in connection with Malawi, it will be included in some of the journeys in this region. Especially in Cabinda, we not only have hundreds, but more than 1,000 who received the word of the hour. In all of Africa, God has just blessed tremendously. Then I just ask all, our sister from Denmark, our brethren from Poland, all those who are here today for the first time, and in particular, those from Atlanta, and especially from Guadeloupe, may the Lord God bless you. Very nice that you made this trip. And brothers and sisters, I of course know with what kind of costs this is connected on every first weekend for you. And yesterday, Brother Kupfer told me, since 38 years, I'm coming here every first Sunday to Krefeld. And I'm driving on every last Sunday, I'm driving to Zurich. This one just has to imagine what kind of value, is laid upon the word of God. And just Brother Kupfer, he tells it to me time and again. I am aware of the responsibility which you have. Take this responsibility by the help of the Lord and carry out the ministry which God has given you. Then we have special greetings from Brother John from Bucharest. Tremendous reports have been given by that of what God has done there, especially the testimony of a sister who has phoned and by the program she received a direct answer and she dedicated her life to the Lord. Then we have greetings from Hungary for the first time. And we just wish our brother Löscher and those who are acquainted with the Hungarian language that God might bless them, just as He blessed in all the other languages already. Then from Gabon, then from Turin, then from Burkina Faso, and then once again from the Congo, then from the capital of the Ivory Coast, special greetings. Then once again from the city from Klausenburg, our brethren from Romania are greeting us. Then a prayer request of a sister Anna, which we shall bring to the Lord. Greetings from Brazzaville. Once again, greetings from Angola. Once again, a brother phoned from Angola. And he was so grateful and he said, we watched, we listened, and we understood of what it is about now. And then our brother Eric from South Africa, the brethren from Ottawa, Canada, And once again from Johannesburg, then again from New Zealand. All our brothers and sisters, they are of course joined with all of us. And we are greeting all of you worldwide. Just say, who was thinking of it? 50 years ago, who was thinking of it? Of what kind of opportunities would be? So that the word of the hour, with all the promises, as we have heard it in the word of introduction, not one of the promises which God has given, not one will be prolonged anymore. Everything what he has said, everything what he promised, he is watching over it. He is watching over it. And so nice. It's so nice that we may rest in it. And that we know he has the responsibility also for the fulfillment of the promises and for the completion of his church, that she might appear before him without spot and without wrinkle before his throne. Also, our brother from Tashkent, we welcome you. Is he a ministering brother? Then he could give us greetings. Yes? We have liberty here. We are grateful for all brothers, in all peoples, in all tongues, who are now finding grace in the sight of God and who are recognizing what it's all about now. It's not about playing religion. It's not about having charismatic meetings, not having much music, making an atmosphere. No. To bring the church in agreement with the word, so that everything comes back into its original condition. And brothers and sisters, the most important thing is really to recognize what God is doing right now. You all know, we are loving Israel out of conviction, with all our hearts, with all our souls. But every time when articles, the newest articles are being published and written about Elijah, who would come before the coming of Christ, and then the special cup for Elijah is being put upon the table, and they're waiting that Elijah should come, and they're reckoning with it, that when he comes, here is his chair, here is his cup, and then he can drink. I'm really crying now. The tears are coming. At that time, the Lord said in reference to John, Elijah has come already, and they didn't recognize him. If they would have recognized that John the Baptist was already coming in the spirit and power of Elijah, then they would have traveled to the river Jordan. They would have been part with the multitudes from Judea and from Jerusalem to hear the message of the hour. He who misses the message of the hour, he misses the fulfillment of the Bible promises. And brothers and sisters, that's what's all about now. And I read it to you, What was said by the Holy Spirit right at the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist. We have it here in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 1. And for me, it's just so important how God has put the weight upon it to give the divine information to his people, to not interpret the scripture, but to see it in the fulfillment. Luke chapter 1, from verse 67. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And now comes the special, verse 70. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. That was what was said in the time of the fulfillment by the Spirit, was referring to that what God announced hundreds of years before that and promised. And so everything was put up to date in the kingdom of God. Verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Is this not wonderful? To remember his holy covenant. Verse 76 and 77. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. How often shall we say it here, brothers and sisters? The New Testament started with the fulfillment of what God promised in all of the Old Testament. And as sure as the men of God, and the four Gospels describe it, and they left it to us, what our Lord has done, beginning with his birth up to his ascension. And then the next part, the book of Acts, when the New Testament church came into existence, was established by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord could take dwelling in his own. Now the church was his body. That's how it is written. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body and are members among one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In the Old Testament, or in Psalm 40, it was written, a body hast thou prepared for me. He had a body on the earth. And let me say it clearly. He was Lord already when he walked in the Garden of Eden. Lord he was when he, in all of the Old Testament, when he revealed himself to the prophets. Son he became, so that we as sons and daughters of God could be brought back into our original state. Therefore it is written, to you is born today Christ the Lord in the city of David. There is only one God, and this one God has revealed himself already in the Old Testament as the angel of the covenant. Three came to Abraham. The two angels went on to Sodom, and the Lord remained with Abraham. And he said, how can I hide before Abraham what I am about to do? In all of the Old Testament, the Lord revealed himself. In the New Testament, the word, the Logos, Dabar, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we saw his glory. Just so wonderful to know that God is one, and that he remains one. And therefore it's written from the first oath, I think it's Genesis 17, I swear by myself. The Lord God never swore by one on his left side or right side. He always could swear by himself. And this remains valid for time and eternity. And for all who have difficulties, let me say it here very briefly. If it is written that the Son of Man sits at the right hand of God, at the right hand, our Lord had to become all in all. He had to be Lamb of God. He had to be high priest. He had to be advocate. But all these are not persons of God. These are tasks which he had to fulfill according to the plan of salvation of our God. And when the completion comes, then the Son will submit to him who has submitted all to him. And then God will be all in all. And this throughout all eternity. And we will be sons and daughters of God forever. In connection with that, what we read here in Luke chapter 1, beloved brothers and sisters, God doesn't owe us an answer. As we said last night already, and time and again we will emphasize it, God has given the promise, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. 2,000 years have passed since the ministry of John the Baptist. The sun has not yet turned into darkness, and the moon has not yet turned into blood, and the terrible day of the Lord has not broke forth yet. But inasmuch as the day of grace, the day of salvation, comes to its end, then the day of the Lord breaks forth. And this Matthew has written it in such a wonderful way. Only after the tribulation, then the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. I'm always grateful for the preciseness of the Word of God. There really, one has to take all the scriptures which speak about a subject. One has to take them together to know then exactly where what belongs and how it is meant by God and how it has to be placed. We are just grateful to God with all our hearts that the promise for our time, that we can believe it, that we see it in its fulfillment. And he who wants to know it exactly, what happened in the time of Nehemiah and Ezra, when those who returned to Jerusalem, all who were in captivity, they had to return. And there it is written, so that the promise might be fulfilled, which God has spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. Always the fulfillment of promise. And the prophet Daniel was reading in the prophet Jeremiah when the 60 years were passed, and he knew then the announcement was 70 years. And he knew the time had come. And then came the angel Gabriel, and he has given him instructions. If we speak about that also on the 7th of May 1946, the angel of the Lord, and Brother Branham describes him from top to bottom, and he says the supernatural light came into the building, into the room. When Brother Branham was sitting, the Bible was on his bosom, and he sprang up and he looked what is happening. And in this supernatural light, the angel of the Lord came down and walked towards Brother Branham. And he said, "Fear not. I am sent from the presence of God to you to give you the commission." And he explained to him the details, how Moses were given two signs, so you are given two signs. We all can believe that the angel came to Zacharias, that he came to Mary, and he who reads the book of Acts, even to Cornelius he came, and he announced to him that he should call the man of God. Brothers and sisters, we are living in the days of the Bible. And he who then reads Revelation chapter 1, he will find out that it's written there, the Lord has sent his angel to show unto his servants what would happen shortly. Angels are ministering spirits sent out for those who inherit salvation. When God fulfills promises on the earth, then the supernatural takes place. Time and again, I'm always grateful, and I'm really happy on my inside. Yes, I'm touched on my inside about the grace which God has given to you and to me, to all of us. Even that I, the poorest of all, when I heard that Brother Ram said, this photograph is hanging in Washington, D.C., what have I done? On my journey to Tucson, I made a stopover in Washington. I was searching, walking up and down, and behold, on that Thursday morning, at around quarter past 11, I was in this large building, Hall of Art, and I have seen this picture there. I held it in my hands. I could really say, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen. It's one thing to repeat or to be an eye and ear witness. If John the Apostle writes, what we have seen, what we have heard, what our hands have handled, yes, I, with these two hands, I held it, this picture. I held it in Washington, D.C. That what God has done didn't happen in some corner of the earth. It happened openly, publicly, and especially when this Dr. George J. Lacey received this photo, the negative he received, the highest man in the FBI at that time in the USA. And he was examining. And then on the 29th of January, he gives the statement that this light had to be there. Otherwise, the camera would not have taken it. It's one thing when Brother Branham speaks about it. Now the light is here, now the light is there. But then it's another thing when truly the evidence is brought forth and that the Lord came down giving testimony of the commission of his servant and prophet. Let us come briefly back to some scriptures. Namely, we start with Romans chapter 8. Last night, we stopped with Romans 7. Let us once again come back to Romans chapter 8. Brothers and sisters, please believe me. The moment has just come where the supernatural moving of God has and shall start. Has to start. Let us pay attention what is written here. In Romans chapter 8. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
In English and in Französisch steht da noch.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The condemnation is over them who walk after the flesh. There are also people, brothers, in the message, who just say, the grace, and they say one could do what one likes. Absolutely not. The grace of God educates us so that we walk according to the Spirit, according to the Word. Then we have all the other scriptures which speak clearly about it, that the election, which we have no influence on the election. God made the choosing, but God knew before the foundation of the world who would believe him and who would not believe him, who would accept salvation and who would not accept salvation. And therefore, the Lord God could choose before the foundation of the world. He could write our names into the Lamb's Book of Life. That's how it is written in the Book of Revelation. And we are just grateful, that we found grace in this time, that the inner renewing has taken place, or that it will still take place shortly, so that we truly are not walking after the flesh anymore, and that we don't know anymore each other after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That we not only found peace with God, but that we were transferred unto a peacemaker, as written in Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 14 to 16.
Dass wir wirklich die Gnade Gottes im tiefsten Inneren erlebt,
that we truly experienced the grace of God in our hearts. And here, especially in the Epistle to the Romans in chapter 9, Paul writes about those who are chosen, to which God's promises apply. Let us read this place with reverence. Romans chapter 9, verse 6, 7 and 8. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Not all who are coming from Israel are Israel. And then he comes to the point, and he writes in verse 7, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Abraham had many sons. After Isaac, he took Keturah. He had six sons with her. Yes, it's still written like this in Genesis, in chapter 25. But Abraham lined it out here. Paul, but only he who was given to me after the according to the promise, they are the seed. Genesis 25 verse 1. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And then the six sons are listed. And then it says in verse 5 and 6, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Here we have a word of prophecy, a wonderful word. Not all inherited, only one inherited, namely the son which God promised to him. And in verse 6 it says, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away. All received gifts. All were sons according to the flesh. But Isaac, the son of promise, and that's upon that the whole blessing was resting. And so we see here in Romans chapter 9, here we read also verse 6, Romans 9, verse
6,
verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Today all are Christians. But who are the true Christians? Who are the true children of God? These are those who believe God's promises. For God's promises remain. They stagger not. Jesus has sealed with his own blood what he promised in his word, as a German song goes. Now, we are again with the main subject. Our Lord says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, our Lord says, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is the truth. The scripture says, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. And then comes the very well-known word from Hebrews 10, verse 14. Hebrews 10, verse 14.
Here wird es uns noch einmal vor Augen.
Here it is shown to us once again of what it's all about, what is important now. Hebrews 10, verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. They who are sanctified, them who are sanctified, the blood-bought flock, they let themselves be sanctified by the word. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is the truth. If we put the emphasis upon the word of God, which remains forever, then not just because we want it, because we have to do it. We have to. Because everywhere are interpretations. With us is the word of our God. It was given to us as a guideline, and we believe every word which the Lord has left to us by his grace. Every promise, everything is being fulfilled. It's coming to fulfillment. We believe the Lord will come for the second time. We believe it. Let me read it. From Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Hebrews 9, the last verse. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There is a bride of the Lamb who is waiting, who is looking for the bridegroom. The calling out means, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Here, the first time he came to take away the sins of many. The second time, no reference to sin anymore, but to them who are redeemed by the blood, who are looking for his glorious return. He doesn't come to once again bring an offering. He comes to take us home, who we experienced the redemption by his grace. To just show once again Romans 8 to us, no condemnation in them who are not walking after the flesh, but who are walking after the Spirit. No condemnation anymore for them who are in Christ Jesus. And only if we truly are under the blood, under the leading of the Spirit, abiding in the Word of God, then we abide in God. If, and Brother Bram said it, he said it very clearly, if ye leave the Word, then God leaves you. We have to abide in the Word of God. And therefore also the emphasis with Revelation, chapter 10. Time and again with only one question. What does the Scripture say? What does the Scripture say? Yeah. What does the Scripture say? What does it say in Revelation 10? Without an interpretation. I almost had the courage, as Paul in Galatians 1, verse 8. He cursed all who have changed the original gospel and who made up their own gospel. Who are the brothers who dare to interpret Revelation 10 privately? Who has given them the right to just interpret one single scripture? Who? It will happen as it is written. The Lord, as the angel of the covenant, with the open book, he will descend with a rainbow over his head. He will put one foot upon the land and one foot upon the sea. And he will roar like a lion. And then the seven thunders will utter their voices. Of course, not a brother in the USA or in Russia or somewhere. It will happen as it is written. The word of our God remains forever. And he who likes to have some more information, he shall read the chapters before that. He shall start with Revelation 6 in Revelation, and then especially Revelation 8 and 9, where the first six trumpet angels sound their trumpets, and when the judgments have come upon the earth, and then the announcement, when the seventh angel, six angels sounded the trumpet already in 8 and 9. And then comes the announcement. When the seventh angel sounds his trumpet, then the mystery of God shall be finished, as he declared it unto his servants, the prophets. And then we go to chapter 11. And the seventh angel sounds his trumpet. And then let me read it to you. What then will take place? I connect with this the question. Who has the right to interpret and to twist the statements of Brother Branham and to make them fitting into their own program? Who? I will not glorify myself now, but I really proved it in the past 49 years that every word of God which was preached, which was taught, which was written, which was published, I didn't have to take anything back yet. Not one circular, not one sermon has to be taken back, because we only have preached what God's word says, and that's how it remains forever. I can show it to you here from the book of Revelation, chapter 11, that when the seventh trumpet angel has fulfilled his commission, then the millennium will start. Not the rapture, but the millennium will then be proclaimed. Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. There's no interpretation needed. It's clear enough. It's very clear what is written here. And if I now make the remark that all brothers who come up with their own interpretations and who cause splits and again splits among the people of God, they are under the inspiration of a wrong spirit. The Holy Spirit brings together, and the Holy Spirit brings revelation of the Word and brings us into the whole counsel of God. Not like I know it all and being puffed up. No, the introduction into our plan of salvation of our God. We wish at this place that all who are misled, all who were misled, that they find their way back, because we are still living in the time of grace. I say it openly. All are referring. Listen closely. All the misleaders they say to the misled, the prophet said, not a single one ever said, this God said in his word, not a single one. All say, the prophet said. For me, the prophet said what is already written in the word of God. And we must place everything, namely there, where it belongs. Some will not like what I say now. But Brother Branham, at his time, he didn't place all the things how it is possible today. Because no prophet gives testimony of himself. After the ministry was finished, God has given us an overall view. And I tell you, when Brother Paul and Brother Peter and Brother Branham would be here today, they would feel at home here. They would all say, listen, this is exactly that, what I have said. Because it is the word of God. We can say of a truth, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we have the word of prophecy. Oh, the word of prophecy, the wonderful word of God. And we time and again emphasized it. The evangelistic part, the teaching part, and the prophetic part. The Lord revealed everything in our time, and He has sent Brother Branham to put all the Bible doctrines about Godhead, about election, baptism, predestination, in fact, about everything he told to the church, what had to be told. Namely that, what was said already at the beginning. And so at the end, we are returning to the beginning. And we can just thank God for that, what He is doing in our time, in all of us, and on many, on all who belong to the Bride Church, all over the earth. I say it once again, with all humility, did we serve the Lord? Did we carry the revealed word? Did we place the minister of Brother Branham biblically? Did we understand what he was told? Namely, that the message would forerun the second coming of Christ? And it is forerunning. Who would have thought of it that in 88 countries people are joining us online, are tuned in, watching, listening? This is God's grace in our time, so that it might be fulfilled, the gospel of the kingdom of God shall be preached unto all nations for a witness. And he who believes it will be called out. He who believes it, it will be revealed to him. So we are truly living in the most important period of time of the history of mankind and of the plan of salvation. The return of Jesus Christ is really at hand. Let us, as Paul, as he wrote to the Ephesians chapter 4, after we have become believers, let us put off the old man and let us put on the new man, who is created after God's righteousness and holiness, that also our tongue would not be kindled by the hellfire, as James has written, and as written in Romans 3, that it's like a poison of snakes, that it can be fulfilled what happened on the day of Pentecost. And they appeared unto him tongues, cloven tongues as of fire, setting upon each one of them. And then they started to speak in other tongues, just as the Spirit gave them utterance. What we all need is this renewing on our inside, that we not only put off the old man, but that we put on the new man by His grace. That we can say, as Paul, now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. We could read many, many scriptures. I read one from Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. Please, the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's written, those who were ready went in to the marriage supper. The last message, it has the purpose, the goal, the calling out, the preparation and the completion of the bride church unto the day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. This must and will be the result of the divine message at the end of the time of grace. Here in Colossians, chapter 3, from verse 1 to 4, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When he is manifested in our lives, when really everything what belongs to the old man, especially in Galatians 5, it is listed what belongs to the old man. When everything what belongs to the old man is being put off, I read it so that we know of what's all about in the life of a child of God. Galatians chapter 5, from verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And then, in verse 18, we read, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We see what has to be put off. Just imagine, the Lord would take the unredeemed with all their lusts into heaven. How should it be there? How should it continue there? No. And again, no. Put off the old man. Loosen yourself from all strife, from all envyings, all the... everything. In a silent hour, lay your hand on this scripture. Say it to no one else. Say it only to the Lord. Tell it only to the Lord. If you find some accusation point, submit before the Lord. Humble yourself and say, Beloved Lord, make me free. Set me free. I want to be as you want me to be at your return. Then from verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And now it comes in verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We have mentioned it. Paul said it in Galatians 2. I am crucified with Christ. Now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. Precious brothers and sisters, once again, lay your hand upon this scripture in which the fruits of the Spirit are listed. Look sincerely into the mirror of the Word. And if you find something, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to the Lord. And He will bring it to pass. Don't tell it to anyone else. Tell it to the Lord. And He will bring it to pass. Our Redeemer will have a prepared bride at His return, fully redeemed, pardoned, reconciled, with all the fruits of the Spirit equipped. And that's how we will walk towards the goal together. And we will experience the completion together by His grace. He, the Almighty God, who has given so much grace, may He be with all of us. And may also the observation of the Word of today, may it have an effect in us for eternity. Also these words which we looked at today, they will not return void, but they will accomplish in all of us for what God has sent it for. And as Brother Schmidt mentioned before, may God bless all who consecrated their lives yesterday to the Lord. Walk forward with the Lord. Trust Him. He will lead you. He will be with you. He will be with all of us. May all, in all peoples, tongues and nations, may all be blessed for the glory of our God. And may all believe, as the Scripture has said, to Him, the Almighty God, be all the glory, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us stand up. We sing a chorus. And if the sisters have again a song, if other sisters have a song, just feel free. We also want to hear something in Russian. We are all amongst ourselves. Is somebody at the organ? If not, then we just sing. What kind of song you suggest? All are overwhelmed of the preaching. Let us sing chorus number one. We are coming. I see Brother Daniel in our midst. All the ministering brethren from all countries. God bless you. Greetings to Kinshasa. So, we are coming.
Mach es gänzlich dein, till komm. Ich möchte deiner sein, nimm du mein Herz und mach es gänzlich dein. Tilg alle Schuld, o Herr, ich bitte dich, wasche mich rein und halt mich ewig glücklich.
Amen.
Amen. Great God, may your visible blessing, your experienceable blessing rest upon all our brothers and sisters. May their lives be consecrated to you today, so that they die together with you, and so that they rise with you unto a new life by the power of God, in Jesus' holy name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Once again, remember me, especially Sunday, Saturday in Brussels, the next Sunday in London. The Lord be with you. Come again. We are happy that we have a building here. We are happy also. Even many have to sleep in little rooms. You are all happy. You are satisfied. We just ask that you register before. If we have no rooms in the building, then on our costs we will book hotel rooms. All shall feel at home. But please register beforehand. Just give a phone call so that our sisters may know how many beds are still available. And we ask also our brothers and to help our brothers and sisters to make all things right. May the Lord God bless us all together and be with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts for this weekend, also for this meeting, and we ask you, lift up thy countenance over all of us and give us thy peace, so that we can live out your word, and so that that we can look up to you freely. Bless us together and bless all your people worldwide, in all people's tongues and nations. To you, the Almighty God, be the praise and honor in Jesus' holy name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Lob, Ehre und
Preis. Praise, honor and glory. Thou art worthy. Let us sing.
Thank you.
Amen. The grace of the Lord be with you. Now we go for baptism. Amen.